The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 3 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Anthony Issa, and here are today's headlines. Today is election day, and we're live from a polling station, trying to get the youth vote and getting kids vaccinated. Thousands of Canadians are expected to show up to the polls today to vote in the 2021 federal elections. Voting this year will be different, as this is the first federal election in a pandemic. We have Joël Jalbert reporting on the situation live from the Royal West Academy polling station. Joël, we were expecting workforce shortages on election day. How is the staff holding up?
Yes, Anthony. Staff is really busy right now. It is hard to get a hold of them, although I did get a chance to speak to John Inder, a first-time worker for Elections Canada. Inder decided to work at the elections this year because he was available and he wanted to support the exercise of democracy. Here's what he had to say.
Beautiful day. We've got good staffing. Everything's going really well.
Voters do have to wait in line outside and respect social distancing measures. Although there are less people being allowed inside at the same time, the process seems to be going fast and smoothly this morning. Here is a voter's reaction right after submitting their ballots.
It wasn't hard at all. It was really easy, streamlined. Like, they just took us inside and we sanitized our hands, and it took like less than a minute for both of us to vote. Like, it wasn't difficult at all.
Should voters expect to stay at the polls longer than usual?
Well, you know, Anthony, people present here this morning were mostly retired or had taken time off work to make sure they wouldn't have to wait too long. So, yes, unfortunately, voters should expect busier polling stations in late afternoon and evening, as most people's workday will be over.
Thanks, Joël. Joël Jalbert from a polling station. The voting polls open today, and many Canadians are encouraged to go vote. But is it worthwhile? Our reporter Zina Shwaibi spoke with Ethan Cox, the editor of Ricochet Media, to get his take on the election. He is not expecting a big turnout today.
It's likely that the turnout will be depressed. A lot of Canadians don't feel that this election is necessary. We've seen that in polls, and so when that's the case, then I think we're more likely to see depressed turnout. So,
first of all, is this election any different from the other ones?
Well, it's a very important election. Climate change is the issue that should be at the forefront. But it's also very frustrating for people because neither of the parties that stand to win, the Liberals or the Conservatives, have a plan on climate that responds to the urgency of the crisis that we're facing. Well, I don't think there's a lot that is specific to Montreal and Quebec that hinges on the outcome of this election. I think the issues that are most important here are the same issues that are important across the country when it comes to climate change, skyrocketing wealth and income inequality, and issues like that. So it's not more consequential here than elsewhere, but it is an important election.
Mm-hmm. And are we expecting big turnout today, or?
Well, we've seen in the that vote by mail numbers have been quite low for what you would expect, given we're in the middle of a pandemic. Same thing with the advance polls. So I think it's likely that the turnout will be depressed.
That was Zina Shwaibi speaking with Ethan Cox. Historically, there has been a low voter turnout in the Black community, and many people say that has led to an underrepresentation in Parliament. But as Alexa Toguri-Lorrain explains, some people are trying to change that.
As elections take off, Black community leaders across Canada urge voters to get their voices heard at the polls. Metro Community Contact editor Egbert Gay says this election matters for Black Canadian voters.
If you're not part of the debate, if you're not part of the issues that are prevalent, then you feel excluded. And so, you know, again, you continue to watch society as a spectator.
The Federation of African Canadian Economic CEO, Tiffany Callender, emphasizes how Black voters will impact Black-owned businesses. She says the Federation will help Black businesses recover from the pandemic.
We need to consider what they would require as support to truly be a contributor to the economic recovery.
Alexa Tagore-Loren, Montreal.
That was Alexa. Next up, youth voting groups are hoping that young voters will make history in this upcoming election. The participation rate in the last election for voters under the age of 35 was around 57%, but still under the national average of 66%. The future of our nation is in the hands of the youth, which is why the sense of urgency is growing. Peter Vryanis reports.
Many factors played into why the youth voting participation rate has been below the national average for so many years. Of those reasons, voter accessibility and the sense of a wasted vote were the main ones. Layla Bookbinder, a Concordia student, explains.
Ridings and areas where maybe their political ideologies are not being reflected in the community, and so I think a lot of younger people feel that they don't need to vote.
We spoke with Maciej Bukowski, who's working at the Loyola campus polling station. He could not comment on the numbers of student voting, but says their participation is very important.
Young people are taking over the world, especially with the climate change and different other issues, economic issues all around the world. So yeah, I think it's important for young people to vote.
Despite political affiliation, the message is clear. Young people need to get out there and vote. I'm Peter Vryanis for Concordia News and NDG.
Thank you, Peter. Next up, so there are a lot of groups out there trying to get you to vote. But if you want to have your voice heard, how do you do it? Here's Hannah Tiangson with all the details. Hannah, just where do Montrealers go to vote?
If a person wishes to vote, they should make sure that they're registered and find their assigned polling station to vote between 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
With the current pandemic situation, how has COVID affected the voting turnout so far?
As of Sunday, the total numbers of special ballot kits issued by Elections Canada is a little over 1 million and over 9,000 have been returned. This high number of Canadians voting by mail is a sign of how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed this election. Here's what political commentator Ethan Cox has to say.
Well, a little surprised that there weren't more of them, given that we're in the middle of a pandemic. You kind of would have expected to see a big uptick in voting by mail, and that didn't really happen. So perhaps that's indicative of the fact that people aren't too worried about the coronavirus anymore, or perhaps it's indicative of a depressed voter turnout. We'll have to see.
Is there anything important people should know before heading to the polls?
Although vaccine passports are not required, voters are still expected to wear masks and remain 2 meters away. They should also provide a piece of ID along with their voter information card.
What happens if a person didn't receive their information card?
If you don't have the information card, you can register to vote at the Elections Canada website or call 1-800-463-6868 or 1-800-361-8935.
Thanks, Hannah. Many hospitals in Quebec are dealing with ER shortages due to a lack of nurses, since many are fed up with pandemic working conditions. Montreal has been affected by this as well. The Lakeshore General Hospital in Pointe-Claire has canceled their elective surgeries. The Ville-Marie Hospital has shut down its obstetrics unit since April, and it will remain closed until November 19th. Also, in Bentaire-Abitibi, the hospital announced last week said that they had to shut down their ER services. Many schools across the province have to close classes due to COVID-19 outbreaks. Pfizer's announcement that its vaccine is safe for children between the ages of 5 and 11 could be the solution. Diane Miron is the general director of the Quebec School Daycare Association. Here's what Philippe Rabin has to say of the story.
Here's Philippe Rabin with the story. We interviewed Diane Moret, who is the general director of the Quebec School Daycare Association. Here's what she had to say about the subject. Yes, because we realize that after 2 or 3 weeks of school, many schools are closed due to COVID. So, yes, it would be an interesting avenue for us to explore. This is not a decision that we have to take for parents. Parents will be the one deciding whether their kids are going to get their shot or not. And this is not our role in here. Many parents are now left with a very difficult decision to make. Nawaz Khan is a father who is in the process of deciding if he wants to get his child vaccinated or not. Like many parents, he has a lot of questions. Here's what he had to say.
It could be, yes, it's essential. We could have it for the kids, but at the same time, we're not sure what's going to be have the long-term, you know, side effects.
This was Philippe Robin from Montreal, Concordia News.
A mother and her two teenagers were killed in a car accident in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu. The accident occurred on Sunday morning. The car was struck from behind by a pickup truck driving at high speed. The collision sent both vehicles 100 meters in the air, which collided into a building. The truck driver survived and is in the hospital with minor injuries. He will be speaking with the SQ later about the incident and its driving permit. A U.S. search team, including the FBI and U.S. Natural Park Services, held a press conference updating the disappearance of Gabby Petito. A body matching the description of the 22-year-old Instagram influencer was found by a search team in a natural park in Wyoming. The body is still awaiting a full forensic identification, and the cause of death has not been confirmed. She disappeared while visiting a Grand Teton National Park with her boyfriend, Brian Laundry. He returned to his home in Florida later without her. Her parents signaled her missing 10 days after. In sports today, a happy birthday to a Montreal legend, more success for the Blue Jays. Canadian national team breaks their stalemate and the SFM heads to the playoffs. Here's Jordan McKay with all your sports news.
Here's a chance for Kyoto!
The Club de Foot de Montréal won 2-0 against the Chicago Fire last night. Romo Kyoto scored their first goal in the 60th minute of the game, breaking the match's stalemate. We can hear the celebration that followed in the clip from the Chicago Fire's YouTube page. Despite Chicago's early pressure on goalkeeper James Fitemis, he led the team to their 7th clean game. Carlos Turan padded the CFM's lead in the 80th minute, scoring their second goal of the game. To add insult to injury, Chicago believed to have tied the game in the 77th minute, but the goal was overturned by officials for an offside call. This marks Chicago's 11th game without a goal. The CFM win propels them into 5th place in the Eastern Conference of the Major League Soccer. They'll head to Halifax to play the Wanderers on Wednesday in the Canadian Championship quarterfinals, then to Columbus for their next Major League Soccer game on Saturday. On the national level, the Canadian men's soccer team will head to the final round for qualifiers for the World Cup for the first time in nearly 25 years. The Canadians tied their first two games with Honduras and the United States before winning 3-0 against El Salvador. They'll play their next game on October 7th against Mexico. The Mexico team tied Panama and won their games against Jamaica and Costa Rica. In baseball, the Blue Jays look forward to their next game against Tampa Bay tonight as they fight for playoff spots. This follows their series win against Minnesota Twins, and they currently hold the third spot in the Eastern League as we approach the final 14 days of the regular season. In hockey, Montreal Canadien Jesse Ollinen is facing controversy following his decision not to get vaccinated. Fans noticed him missing from the lineup on Saturday's preseason game against Ottawa. Due to quarantine requirements, the Finnish player was unable to leave Montreal. His choice would make traveling for games difficult and could result in him missing all of the games in the United States. This decision could also cause conflicts with the NHL, as the league's policy on unvaccinated players suggests that those who cannot travel could be suspended without pay. In lighter news, we are wishing a very happy birthday to a Montreal legend, Guy Lafleur, as he celebrates his 70th birthday today. He played with the Montreal Canadiens from 1972 to 1991 and helped them secure 5 Stanley Cups. That's it for sports.
Thanks, Jordan. Next up. In NDG, the YMCA will be reopening on October 4th. After being closed for over a year, the City of Montreal stepped in to save the community hub by purchasing the facility for about $11.5 billion. Residents will be able to enjoy recreational activities again, such as swimming and using the gymnasium, provided they follow COVID-19 regulations. Today in the weather, clear skies are announced for a Monday, but that sally will not last as a few clouds will move in on Tuesday with rain showers coming down on Wednesday until Friday. However, the weekend will luckily see a return in sun, but not without a few clouds. That's your news for 1144. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Anthony Issa.